Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. We've got a full house. We're all gathered around the table here in our own 19th hole of sorts here on Wednesday. We got Kyle Porter. We got Mark Immelman. We've got the Northern Trust to preview. We've got a lot to get into, gentlemen. And so Mark has scrambled. You're in position. Where's your focus at as we sit here heading into the weekend?
Well, it's hard not to have my focus on the skyline of Manhattan. I mean, this place is just so cool. Traveled in this morning from Atlanta. It was a wonderful flight. I've got to give a little shout out. My eldest daughter, Isabel, is turning 12 today. So we had a little daddy-daughter trip up here. And we're going to do a little golf announcing. And she's going to do a little researching for me. And we're going to go out for a date and for dinner in the evening. So it's been a fantastic day so far. And honestly, the start of the playoffs, Kyle, I don't know about you, but I am pumped for this playoffs, because I think there's going to be a whole bunch of storylines that are going to unfold.
Yeah, I agree. And I think with a condensed playoff schedule going from 4 to 3, you're just getting, more guys are just revved up and ready to go earlier on. I think with the four event schedule, it was easier to be like, yeah, I don't know. I might just sit this one out, or at least mentally take some off. And there's no room to do that this year. And with the amount of money that you're playing for, it's kind of like, all systems go from the first tee shot.
Yeah.
We will be getting into, what to expect from Liberty National. Like, as Mark mentioned, just a real gorgeous, the views from that place look incredible. I've never been there by myself, but I hope to one day. But first, a few little news items. And we begin on a very lighthearted note where Matt Kuchar, after being initially a subject of fan controversy, then he catches a stray, as the kids say, from Phil Mickelson during Mickelson's legendary video as he drove down Magnolia Lane. And then at what appears to be a Wyndham Rewards top 10 event, Rory McIlroy just landed into him. I'm going to play the audio so that the listeners who might not have heard it will get their chance to enjoy this one.
I'm still mad. I mean, Rory was just telling me he passed me by 2 points. 2 points is $300,000 over 2 points.
We all know what money means to him, so.
Fair.
We all know what money means to him. Matt Kuchar. Ah. Kyle, I love this.
Somebody asked on Twitter, like, what was the noise that Kuchar made right after that? He's like, like he like doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, that's the lesser spotted. Goodness gracious, what I'm going to say next, animal. You ever heard of that thing? I tell you, it was all lighthearted. Kuch has got a wonderful sense of humor, and he's got a very sharp wit. And he's the kind of guy ordinarily that's doling out the ribs at guys. And it's he's notable for taking on Tiger, Phil, all the best guys who can really needle you. You know, Kuch can hold his own, and there's Rory turned the tables on him. And Kuch, you heard, he had zero comeback for it. I think it was
Well, that's the thing is, like, this is what happens if you're notorious for, like, just roasting people like Kuchar is on the course. Like, if one thing goes bad publicly, it's game on from everybody else, which I think is pretty hilarious. My favorite part, which people who are listening can't see, is Brooks Koepka. He kind of like loses it for a second. And Koepka's kind of like Kawhi, to where you're like, is he a human being sometimes? Like, is he real? And then this was his version of Kawhi laughing at the Toronto introduction last year, Chip.
I disagree. I think we have seen more. I think we've made up years of robotic behavior from the flavor and the color that Brooks Koepka has done to fill in his character on the PGA Tour this year. And I feel like I've seen more smiles. I feel like I've seen more openness. And the fact that he's going to get in on the good laugh. I mean, to see Rory, you know, still on his game, cracking and just being able to take a shot like that, you know, almost button in from off the mic. I would say Rory's performance, not only delivering the line, but understanding that this was going to be your opportunity, right? Like this was, as you mentioned, when the guy who makes the jabs, when the jokester finally shows a little bit of a weakness. I love Rory being just a cold-blooded killer to come in with that humor.
Hey, if the fastball is hung over the plate, you have to swing.
Yes, yes.
Pass over there. You know what, Kuchar, I think it speaks again to why I'm so excited about the playoffs, because you've got all these different personalities in there. They're not afraid to speak their minds. They certainly have got all sorts of game. And the neat thing now is I'm looking forward to the next, you know, few days, few weeks, whatever, because, you know, Cooch is going to have some sort of comeback on the go. So watch this space, I believe, because there's going to be some sort of response.
The USGA this week, while from, you know, the event, USGA makes an official announcement. We've got some changes, some exemption changes for the U.S. Women's AM and the U.S. Amateur in terms of, you know, what's going to be next for turning pro. And Kyle, I believe, do we get to carry this as the Victor Hovland rule? What are the specifics in terms of what this means for U.S. Amateur competitors on the men's and women's side going forward?
You know, it's just another example of my people from Oklahoma State ending ridiculous rules. 2011, Oklahoma State
the
football
BSS,
kills the BCS.
Yeah.
Victor Hovland. Yeah, this is interesting because essentially you're going to be able to win the USAM in August. So, like, let's say Cole Hammer wins the USAM this August at Pinehurst. And then if you want to turn pro, so you get in by winning the USAM, you get into the Masters, you get into the US Open, all these different things. Well, you only used to get into those if you were still an amateur. Now, at least with the US Open, you're going to be able to turn pro, say, after the Masters and still play in the US Open. That would have mattered to Hovland this year because he would have had a longer runway for getting FedEx Cup points and potentially getting his PGA Tour card, not to mention the points that he would have gotten just from the US Open alone by competing as a professional. So, you know, it's a very, very like niche rule because it's not going to apply to that many people. There's only one USAM winner every year. I guess it could apply in some other, you know, at the US Women's AM, it'll apply. But it's a very niche thing that I guess I'm fine with. I don't really know that I have an opinion. I just don't think it's going to usually matter because even guys that win the USAM, they're not usually contending like Hovland was to get his card the next summer.
Yeah, well, look, that's the thing. I think the play we've seen from Colin Morikawa, from Matthew Wolff, and from Victor Hovland, because here's Hovland, who since he turned professional, again, played in that US Open at Pebble Beach as an amateur, had a fantastic start there. He's only had one finish outside the top 15, I think it is, top 20, yeah, definitely, since he's been a pro. And what he did last week, I was there in Greensboro for the Wyndham Championship. And he has a guy who had to basically win to get in the playoffs. And second or better was what he needed. And he still makes a run. I mean, this guy, they've all got so much game. And I'm going to sort of give props to the USGA because you're going to get these generational talents once in a while. And you don't want to handcuff them by saying, well, you know, you can only play in our big events if you remain an amateur, because the world is these boys' oysters. And we've seen this. They've come out, they're making all sorts of money, winning tournaments, you know, but for a blink of an eye, Hovland may have had a tournament winning in the playoffs as well. So I think this is a good move. And you're right, Carl, it's not going to happen, you know, every year, but you want to make provisions for when these special situations happen, because you know, these guys are going to go to the pros. I mean, that's where what they've been dreaming about their entire career. They have their college career, 2 years, 4 years, whatever it is. We saw four with Hovland. We saw two with Matthew Wolff. They want to get out there and play against the best, and that's what they're going to want to do. So I think it's a good move.
So we had, Matthew Wolf in with the 3M Open win. Colin Morikawa follows at the Barracuda. And now, Mark, that's right. This is our big three. Our big three is now all cemented. They're all pros and they're all good to go.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to call them because I'm a Gary Player homer. Look, I'm American citizen, but I am South African deep sure. down. And Mr. Player, he was the original big three alongside the Golden Bear and the King, Arnie and Jack. And so they're the big three. Let's call these the little three right now. And let's see what the future holds.
As some of the, the best golfers and all the golfers that are competing in the playoffs are gathering this week around the greater New York, New Jersey, Manhattan area. There was a little bit of a President's Cup team meeting. Now we've got a few more events before the standings are locked, and Tiger Woods has some important decisions to make. It looks like, as we've seen several times around the United States Golf Organization, a team dinner of sorts with returning members from previous teams and those golfers that are in the mix for either, finishing within the top eight of the standings at the end of the playoffs, or perhaps being a captain's pick to round out the team of 12. And Kyle, I saw a Patrick Reed. I saw a Xander Schauffele. Did I see Kevin Na?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
and Ches Reavy.
Ches Reavy, but no Jordan Spieth. Mm-hmm. No Jordan Spieth.
You saw Billy Horschel too. So there's one of three things.
Kyle, before you go on, your tweet was really funny, man. I giggled when I saw that this morning. That was good stuff.
I said that that's the thing. Like 9 months ago, we all thought, after Patrick Reed did his thing at the Ryder Cup, well, him and Spieth will never play together again. But I didn't think it would be because Spieth was maybe going to not make a team event the following year. I mean, so one of three things is happening here. Either Spieth had a prior engagement entirely within the realm of possibility, an Under Armour thing, an AT&T thing, whatever. Or two, it's just a blanket invite to the top 20 in the President's Cup. So Kevin Na is number 20 in the standings right now.
Okay.
But if that's true, then Bubba Watson should have been there. He's 19. Charles Howell should have been there. He's 15. So I don't know where those guys were if that was the case. Or three, Tiger just didn't invite Spieth, which is the most hilarious scenario to buy into. But I think also maybe the least likely. I don't know. I still think that he's going to be, if not on the team, then at least heavily considered to be on the team.
Well, look, the thing about it is you, and I'm going to borrow JT Poston's tweets that he'd released it before he won the event, where one time someone was confused him for being a bag valet or a car valet and the hashtag was play better. And then there was another situation where he was going to the range and the guy picked him up and said, are we waiting for JT? And he goes, no, I'm JT. And so the tweet, he made fun of himself, hashtag play better. And the truth of it is, Jordan Spieth has to play better because Tiger is, if he's going to make selections, obviously the top eight will be decided. But the selections, you've got some superstars in there. I mean, Finau, Fowler, yeah. Woods, Reavy, Mickelson, Charles Howell, as you point out, Kisner, who's the dynamite match player, as is Patrick Reed. So, this is a tough situation. And for Jordan Spieth, I was there. He's currently ranked 29th, I think it is, in the President's Cup rankings. I was there in Greensboro, and we had him on Saturday morning in the early coverage. And it was, you could see a guy who was really wrestling with his game. And the one thing, and I talked to Nick Faldo about this, who's obviously a Ryder Cup stalwart and a match play star and a Hall of Famer and all the rest of it. And Faldo was, his opinion was, the worst thing that you can ever happen to you is if you show up at one of these matches, the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup, and you're playing poorly, because there's kind of no way you can hide. And it's a grind, and then you weigh your partners down and stuff like that. So, Jordan is going to have to pull the rabbit out of the hat if, as far as I'm concerned. Now, is he capable? Absolutely. But this is a long road to hoe in a very short space of time. And for Spieth, the struggles look real. I mean, I saw a guy who was really at odds with his game. And even the comportment before the final round, the Saturday round, because he MDF'd, you could see a guy in the range before the round really grinding hard. And I feel for him, and I hope he finds it soon. But right now, you know, it's not a guy on the best of form. That is for sure.
How much consideration is there going to be between the President's Cup won't be until December, right? Like, I wonder if some of these captain's picks are going to come down to some conversations, and I wonder if I wonder if Tiger Woods would be able to discern some of the same things that you saw, Mark, on the course in Greensboro, or speaking to him, or if Jordan Spieth himself would even be able to acknowledge that perhaps his game is not in the place in the form such that he would be successful in match play. Because if I'm a competitor and if I believe in my talent, then I might be thinking in the back of my head, yeah, this is August, but Tiger, like, I can tell you, by the time the President's Cup comes around, I'm going to have it back. And I don't know, you know, with all the dynamics at play between Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, and also, like you said, play better, I don't know if those sorts of things are taken into consideration when it pertains to the long gap between when the decisions are made and when the President's Cup is actually held.
I'm certain they would be. You know, Tiger's a smart man, that we all know. But, you know, if you're weighing up situations, I understand. But we never know what the future holds. But if you're looking at selections, I mean, right now, if you're pitching Tiger Woods, well, are you going to pick Jordan or Ricky Fowler? I think I know where you guys know where he'll go. I'm like, are you picking Jordan Spieth or Kevin Kisner, you know, who won the match play earlier this year, the Dell match play? You know, this is going to be a tough thing if Jordan doesn't start playing better, or to be able to justify the selection and you leaping over the top of someone like, you know, Charles Howell, who's had a banner year, and then you're reaching down into the recesses of the rankings to put someone in there on his resume. So like I said, Felder would say you got to go in there playing well. So you got to go with kind of what you know. You know, the old bird in the hand is worth two in the bush kind of deal.
Right.
I think that probably went over in the end.
Thorbjørn Olesen has been suspended by the European Tour pending an assault investigation. Allegations include a lot of misbehavior on an aircraft. And so as the European Tour has stepped in to issue some discipline here, you know, there is the, you know, discipline with golfers is much more difficult because there are, you know, all the different competing circuits and all the different competing rules. There is not, as there are in the professional leagues for, you know, the NFL or the NBA, one specific conduct policy. You know, what, Kyle, I'll let you take a first crack at this, but, you know, what were the takeaways here for you in terms of, you know, Olesen and what the fallout might be for him? And I guess, like, it's always interesting, again, to come back to player discipline, because the rules for professional golf across the different tours seem as cloudy and as murky as anything else.
Well, and I think they're sort of necessarily like loose, right? Like it doesn't benefit the PGA Tour, the European Tour, to send their stars and their big names away for long periods of time. Like you don't want to do that. And so I guess, and not that Olesen is the biggest name, but I guess my takeaway is that, like, if a tour is suspending you, then whatever did or didn't happen is a very serious thing, because the one of these tours is not just going to suspend somebody at something that, you know, is a rumor or hearsay or may not have happened or whatever. They have certainly, like, they take that stuff very seriously before making that step. So that's kind of my big takeaway, and we'll see how it plays out, you know, for him as a golfer and as just a citizen. But that's kind of like where I landed with, in kind of thinking about all this.
You know, I think you bring up a good point, Kyle, and I'll expound on the term citizen. I mean, you know, golf is supposed to be the gentleman's game, and, you know, the Professional Golfers Association are the bastions of this sort of thing, and the Professional Golfers playing tour, the PGA Tour and the European Tour, these are the heroes. And the tour, I don't care how big the star is, the tour or the governing bodies need to take a stand. Especially, well, I'm not going to say in the era in which we live, but there's certain things that just aren't right. And if these allegations are indeed true, I mean, that is behavior that's despicable, honestly. And so, and I'm surprised, I've got to tell you, I know Thorbjørn Olesen well, and he's always been a charming guy to me. He's a heck of a golfer, I know that. But from the human point of view, the European Tour just had to. I mean, because if you don't, you open up a can of worms that who knows where you'll see the end of that sort of stuff. So I think the disciplinary action is well-founded, and I think suspending him until, you know, there's been a judgment made is the right thing to do. I just couldn't see Keith Pelley and company over there in Wentworth doing anything different.
Coming up on the other side, we will turn our attention to the weekend action with previews and picks from Liberty National next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Well, Mark, you're right there. You're looking at the skyline. You will be a part of the festivities around the Northern Trust. And so just what can you tell us, first of all, about the course and some of your experiences there in terms of what we should expect from the play this weekend?
Well, my first experience here, Chip, was the President's Cup a couple of years ago when I was on the PGA Tour radio broadcast crew. And when I set foot on the golf course, I was awe-inspired. I mean, this place is built on a landfill, and it was, I mean, you've got to be a visionary just to put this together. And when you're on the course, it's a well-routed golf course. The golf course asks you to hit, you know, every shot in the book. The vistas from some of the holes are spectacular. I mean, you've got Lady Liberty right there on the 18th hole. You look down the fairway, you see the clubhouse, and in the distance, the Freedom Tower, which in the afternoon, the sunlight reflects off this thing, and it looks like a blade that's sticking straight into the air. And it is an incredible venue. It's a super golf course that really has kind of highlighted ball strikers. Adam Scott won last when the Northern Trust was here. He held off Tiger Woods. So there you got two form horses. Guys hit the ball very well. At the President's Cup, the guys that showed up and played well, Justin Thomas had a big one. A losing effort for the internationals. Jonathan Vegas was a real star and came through. And so you can't fake it around this golf course. That's the one thing's for certain. So I think to kick us off for the playoffs, it's a super venue. And you're right outside of New York with all of these fans. I mean, I was here for the PGA at Bethpage State Park, as Carl was. And these New York fans, I mean, they're one of a kind. So you got some weekend golf here with Manhattan in the background, start of the playoffs. You couldn't hope for any more.
Kyle, it does feel a little bit like a festival. It's joyous. You know, we've got the smiles, you sort of good attitudes from a lot of these golfers and with the fans there too. I just when does the festival turn into real competition in your mind?
Let me turn it around to you. If there's $60 million on the table and you have to play three tournaments to get to the end of it, are you going to be excited or not excited?
Right.
I mean, like, I don't, and that's the thing. Like, and this is sort of something that I've been thinking about. It's such a different atmosphere than a major championship, because it's almost like this is not disparaging. I think it's in a way to be celebrated. It's almost like an all-star game in that, like, these are the best guys, and it's not the intensity of like the NBA playoffs, but it's cool in a different way. And you know, people can knock on the FedEx Cup and the, you know, the weird way they're starting the Tour Championship this year, whatever, but you've still got the best players in the world playing for a ton of money. And yeah, maybe it's not as intense as a Sunday at Bethpage or at Pebble or whatever, but it's still fun. And I think that I'm glad they cut this down by a tournament, because I think it makes it less of a slog and more of a, like you said, kind of a festive atmosphere.
And to that, I tell you what, going from 125 to 70, where it used to be 125 to the top 100 for the Deutsche Bank,
there'll
be a lot of guys that are doing a lot of sweating because there is a two-round cut. So Friday afternoon, where your fate is kind of in your hands and there's this grandiose prize at the end of it, there's going to be a really intriguing storyline, not as much as the guys trying to keep playing privileges as they did last week in Greensboro at the Wyndham. But this is just a different deal, and Friday afternoon is going to be big, and Sunday is going to be all sorts of interesting, given that the field will be cut by 55. I mean, that is nuts in itself.
Well, that's what Brooks Koepka does every time he shows up to a major. He cuts the field in half and throws them out. Says, I don't even need to compete against those guys.
Well, 125 in this field, what does Brooks figure? He's got to beat like five or six of them and he's good?
Yeah.
I still want to know who's on the list.
Oh,
I don't know who it is.
Well, look, he did say at Memphis in the World Golf Championships event, he did say in the press, I was there, he's like, it's fun to watch Rory McIlroy hit a golf ball. So you know McIlroy must be on the list.
I agree.
I'm not sure about the rest of them.
So we actually, Kyle and I have discussed this, Mark. Do you think that DJ is on the list?
I think so. Yeah. I do. He hasn't won yet. He had won lately. He won in Mexico earlier this year. And I know I harp on this all of the time, where it hasn't been a year up to the standards we expect of him, but he's played well. Memphis, I was surprised that he didn't knock that on, because he had a decent start. But the game is all there, and he's the kind of guy, because there are just so many weapons in the cache that he can show up at any time. And Brooks knows DJ as well as anyone. And they play a lot of golf together down in South Florida, and he'll be aware of the fact if DJ is playing well or not. And he knows how DJ can find it at any time. And it's just a question really of rolling a few putts in. So I'm sure DJ's on the list.
I tend to agree with you there. All right, well, we've mentioned Dustin Johnson's year. We've mentioned Jordan Spieth, in the President's Cup. But I would wonder that maybe in addition or doubling down on those, Kyle, you first. Who do you think has the most to gain from the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys I'm singling out stars here, because obviously somebody like Andrew Putnam has a ton to gain in the playoffs. But like, of the stars, of the top 15 or 20 guys, like, which one has the most to gain? I think I've got like three guys on here that I think are on my list. The first one is Patrick Cantlay. We've talked about him all year. He still is like on the fringe of being like a mainstream guy. And maybe you don't become a mainstream guy until you win a major. Maybe that's just the deal. But for him, and look, like, six of the last 7 years, there have been multiple playoff events won by one guy. Last year it was Bryson, Stenson did it, Horschel did it, Rory did it. I can't remember who else. But, you know, if that's Cantlay, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. Like, this is, maybe he gets more publicity from something like that. So I think he has a lot to gain. I think Tommy Fleetwood is another guy who's up there that has a ton to gain, just because he hasn't won on the PGA Tour. This would be, again, like a celebration of his talent. And then the guy that I think has a lot to gain from this, and again, this sounds dumb because he's won a major, he's won whatever, 9 times, 10 times on the PGA Tour, is Justin Thomas. Because of the way the year has gone, he's gotten a little bit forgotten this year. And I just feel like if all of a sudden he goes out, wins the Northern Trust, wins the FedEx Cup, you're like, oh yeah, he's unbelievable. And he's all of a sudden right back at the top of the list when you're talking about majors in 2020.
So if we, here's a quick question before I give you my response to that, because I like the Cantlay, and I'm just interested, Kyle, if I had to pitch Tiger Woods at you, do you think he's got a lot to gain if he had to win this thing?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's tough, because my first hottest take is no, because mm-hmm. it's like Tiger only has something to gain from the majors. But because of the way this year has gone, sort of like JT, he does have something to gain.
I think so. Because when you guys were talking about this, the victory at East Lake, I will never forget that. I was on site on the call, and that was, it was like Bob Jones at St. Andrews. It was just one of those things that you'll see once in a millennium. So I think there is some to gain for Tiger, but you're right. He's a major championship hunter. I hear you on Cantlay. I certainly do, but I'm going to add to this Ricky Fowler. It's time to win something big. Okay. And the playoffs, the FedEx Cup, it's the ultimate prize, as the PGA Tour call it. So it's time for Ricky to get busy and do this kind of thing and show some golf over an extended period of time, 3 weeks in this instance. And then I'll add to that Tony Finau. I mean, every
gotta week. Win. He's gotta yeah. win.
Exactly. So I mean, look, both of the guys have got the firepower. We know it's, but now it's time to close. And what better time to close and win the FedEx Cup, which is becoming increasingly circled on the calendars by all the leading golfers. They aim around the majors. That's the thing. But the playoffs now is a big deal, and the FedEx Cup is a big deal. And that purse, man, you can't overlook $15 million. That's ridiculous. So it's time now for Finau and Fowler, the two Fs. No more Fs in the playoffs. Let's get the A pluses going on, boys.
And now it's time for the perfect finish, brought to you by Amstel Light. We are turning our attention to the Northern Trust. We are trying to, try to conjure up what we think is either going to happen or what would just make the perfect finish. So, Kyle, I'm going to go with you first. What is your perfect finish for the Northern Trust?
Yeah, my perfect finish is also my pick, and that's Adam Scott winning.
Ooh.
He's the only guy in the top four in strokes gained this year that hasn't won so far. He's like Mark said, he won last time a tournament or a PGA Tour event was played at this course, which was the 2013 Barclays, which is now the Northern Trust. So it was actually this tournament in 2013. He won it. He's got a bunch of top tens in his last 10 starts. He's just due, and it's so weird to play that good of golf and not win a tournament in a year. So him holding off some of these other big names that we talked about would be my perfect finish.
May I have two?
Chip, sure.
Chip connected to this. The first one, when Adam Scott won, no one will ever forget Tiger Woods Sunday in the red, fairway middle in hand, makes a pass, basically buckles to his knees. Next thing, he's on hand, haunches down on the ground. Golf ball's gone hard left. I can't remember what he made, but he made a number on the hole, and Adam Scott keeps on winning. So I'd like to see now Tiger has come back, and I'd like to see him go full circle to say now on Sunday, he and Adam Scott going head to head, and Tiger gets the better of Adam, as much as what I love Adam. So that's number one. But number two, and this is just purely selfish, we had the match of the Titans set up Sunday in Memphis for a World Golf Championships event. And Brooks basically does Rory in from even before they teed up, and Brooks showed up there 40 minutes before the final tee time. I want to see McIlroy, Koepka, head-to-head Sunday. Rory pips him, coming down the last in the shadow of Statue of Liberty, and set up a big tussle for the FedEx Cup in East Lake down the road, because that's in my back garden, and I want to see the two of them vying for that title.
That would be fantastic. My perfect finish is going to be from the man who fell off the radar just a little bit because of a wrist injury, and who I think might have a little bit of gas left in the tank. I've been going in on this theory for a couple weeks now, and I think he cashes with a win. My perfect finish is going to be Justin Thomas taking the victory. Ball striking is what you need. Well, Justin Thomas is one of the best at it. So I'm going to take Justin Thomas as my pick. And that is the perfect finish, brought to you by Amstel Light. At the end of every round, it's the perfect finish. It's the perfect balance. Reach for it. it's an Amstel Light. All right, gentlemen, it's Northern Trust. Any other big, bold takes, expectations, or things you're looking for? Mark, you first.
Yeah, look out for Webb Simpson. Man, how about the way he's playing lately? He's striking it beautifully. His attitude's good. He's coming in on a real heater, as they say. And so I'd be careful of Webb Simpson. He's not my pick, but I'd make sure I stay in front of him.
Yeah, I like the Webb Simpson take. He's been awesome. You could argue that him and Koepka have been the hottest golfers in the world the last month or so. So Mark was talking earlier about kind of the ball striking, and this is a place where it's hard to hit these greens. I can't remember. It was bottom 10 in terms of greens in regulation hit back in 2013 for that season. So a guy like sounds ridiculous, but Jason Kokrak.
He finished
T6 last week at the Wyndham. He's sixth on the PGA Tour in strokes gained approach. Somebody like him, Furyk is seventh in strokes gained approach. Guys like that, I think, are going to be really interesting this week, because if you're hitting a lot of greens, obviously you're just giving yourself more chances. And I think guys who are coming from the Wyndham are going to find some of these greens more difficult to hit than you know we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
And I must say this, I know I've waxed on about the perfect finish and who I think is going to play well. My pick this week is Jason Day. He played beautifully in the President's Cup. He's got Steve Williams on the bag. I think they're getting to a place now where they've got their groove going on. He's added that new low shot to the repertoire, which, you know, just, you know, we're not seaside here, but you do get wind off the river that could bring that into play. And you talk about hitting greens being difficult. Well, everyone's going to miss, and that means your ability to scramble and recover around greens is highlighted. And we all know Jason Day on Ben Greens is like a symphony. So I have a feeling that the Australian may come around this week.
Love it. Like a symphony. You can follow him on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. You can follow him on Twitter at @KylePorterCBS. You can follow me at @Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Appreciate Thanks, Chip. It.